1 FM, Burnaby, BC, striving to provide points of view that are rarely expressed in mainstream media.
Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hey, welcome. Come on in. Grab a seat. Welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the one and only campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We broadcast from the unceded and ancestral territory of the Hulkamilam and Squamish speaking peoples. My name is Jesse. Happy to have you here. Nice to meet you. Welcome back if you've been here before. Today on the show, we will be featuring the last of a series of interviews done by former Public Affairs Department Work Study William Hofsink with a digital artist, multi-hyphenate, who is named Exquenda Penrose. And so we'll get into that, as well as playing you some music, talking about things, and just generally hanging out, doing stuff for your ears. So we will get right into it. Happy to have you here and happy to be back after a week in Alberta. I went to visit my parents, who have retired to the small foothills town of Sundre, Alberta. That was a nice, quiet week, 5 days there in the foothills. A little smoky, but not as bad as it could have been. Lots of hanging out, reading, watching TV, talking with the family. We also spent a day at the Sundre Museum, which, you know, most of it is your what you might expect from a small town Alberta museum, a sort of pioneer village, lots of old farming tools and machinery and implements and buildings and an old schoolhouse and all sorts of stuff. But also featured at the Sundre Museum was something that I was not expecting or prepared for, which was the Chester Mule's Nest World of Wildlife, which is a big old room that features over 170 taxidermied animals, ranging from, you know, if you're expecting like wolves and bears and other sort of mountain foothill stuff, but also animals from all over the world, including a giraffe and a rhinoceros. It was deeply unsettling for me. Any taxidermied animal certainly has that potential due to, if an animal is poorly taxidermied, it looks creepy and weird for sure. But just having that many formerly alive animals in one giant room all looking at you with glass eyes, a little weird for sure. It gave me the willies, I think I would say. But if you're in Sundre and you want to see a giraffe, you can go to the Sundre Museum. Chester Mule's Nest, the namesake of the exhibit, was a owner of a logging and hunting lodges, and a big game hunter who went all over the world to do that. So, strange. Very strange. And I will remember that for a long time, because it was a shock. Anyway, I'd like to get things going here on Speak Up on Monday mornings. Oh my goodness, feels like Monday morning. Thursday mornings, with a little bit of music. So we are going to hear from the newest Future Star record. This is For Good or Worse, We See the Rocks Begin to Move.
For good or for worse, we see the rocks begin to move.
Mm-hmm.
begin to move. Begin to move.
Heard it, the only lyrics in the song, For Good or For Worse, We See the Rocks Begin to Move by Future Star from the new record It's About Time, which is out now and is amazing and great, and you should check out. You can find it on Bandcamp or at record stores in the Lower Mainland. I'm Jesse, this is Speak Up, and now we are going to head into William's conversation with Exquenda Penrose, and we'll check in after that, so enjoy.
Hi, this is William Hofsink for CJSF 90.1 FM. That's William Hofsink, CJSF 90.1 FM. And today I am with...
Exquenda Penrose.
Exquenda Penrose, yes. So we've been in regular contact since, I believe, beginning of January over the music forums on Rated Music. And we've become very good friends, I'd like to think. And I know I've definitely been exposed to some very interesting like types of music. I know you said like it doesn't really reflect your current artistic trajectory, but I have seen some of your I listened to some of your earlier work, and it is really interesting like to see, especially insofar as you wanting to create something like wildly different later on. And I'm kind of curious like what your like artistic trajectory has been like. Was there ever like any, I asked this to a lot of the artists I interviewed, but like, was there like a flashbulb moment with a particular artist? Doesn't even have to be one you listen to still. There was like, this is going to be like my life.
Like help progress me?
Yeah. Like progress you into like the musician that you are today. I mean, I think I know the answer, but.
If you think you know the answer, I actually don't think you know the answer. And that's, if I'm being completely honest, if you're like going like early, I would have to say it was actually Playboi Carti, ironically.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I can kind of hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, like it really like blasted me, like really, like when Whole Lotta Red came out, like it was really exciting for me, like back, like when I was really new to music, basically just in my hip hop phase, like I was really, really obsessed with Playboi Carti and like whatnot. And he got me out of like really generic hip hop as opposed to just like kind of listening to like, I don't know, like the Gunnas, the Lil Babies and stuff like that. And it got me more into listening to like more of that stuff. I obviously was into Kendrick and Kanye at that time, kind of had the most generic taste. And then like you see Def Grips obviously ended up having a big impact on me, really shifting my taste. And then the one you were probably thinking was Charlie XCX, who yes. I would probably say for the future is definitely going to. But I would say it hasn't quite had that impact because I have loved her music a while, but like I became really obsessed with her music like in a different time of my artistry, and like I was still inspired by the other stuff when making my music, if that made sense. So
I don't know, I hope you don't mind like jumping in the deep end right away, because like when you say at a different time, I'm kind of assuming this was near like when you begun like transitioning and like kind of realizing that about yourself, because like I know from a lot of like experience when I've spoken to like queer creators or just queer music fans in general or genderqueer, her music in particular is so like gratifying, and I don't want to put like my words in your mouth or anything, but
yeah.
I don't know, like do you think there was like a huge paradigm shift at that point, like in your taste and like even your critical eye, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
You're kind of you're hitting pretty close, because I would say that Charli XCX is actually a big reason that why I discovered I was even trans in the first place.
Oh wow.
And I'm like very, very, I was, if I'm being honest, like compared to, I imagine, a lot of people you are talking to who are queer, and also a lot of people who are trans. I mean, there's also going to be people in my place, but I have like very, I'm very early in not just even transitioning, but I'm very early in actually even discovering that I'm a trans girl. And so that's kind of what makes things very different for me. What kind of happened for me was everything has started to click into place, because when I first, like, I listened to How I'm Feeling Now by Charli XCX a while ago, and that was like the one that really got me obsessed with her. It's not one of my favorites by her at all anymore, but just, I ended up just really listening so much. And then there was always like this thing, and just randomly just something felt like it clicked. It felt like there was this masculinity I was holding on to back in the day. And then it was just like, it felt like one time I was just listening to Pop 2, it just like felt like my masculinity faded, if that made any sense. And it wasn't like universal, because I've always had weirdness of that, like, or I guess quirks that have like, are like different from like traditional like guys and whatnot. So like listening to Pop 2 just one day, and it was right after I was surrounded by men all day in my men's ensemble choir, I was just realizing, wait, I think I'm a girl, was just kind of what happened. So yeah, that was kind of how it happened for me.
Yeah, because like you've really kind of latched on to like bubblegum bass as an aesthetic, and I mean obviously what you're making is kind of like how would you describe your music? Because like I feel like sort of like psychedelic cloud rap a bit, like,
yeah, I mean, I guess
there is a bit of
I have no idea. I mean, I'm kind of trying to take my music in different places. I mean, I came up from hip hop, and that's why my music has had hip hop in it so long, because you can kind of trace it back, because that was what I listened to back. And so I've been thinking about wanting to make really big changes in my sound because of the aesthetic changes I've been listening to and what I've been doing. But I would say currently, I mean, it really depends on the album, because like everything from Emotions About Words 2 to Standing Ovation, like those, that five album trilogy, like it's all has a lot of different stuff in it. But I would say overall, the best indicators of my sound are probably like experimental hip hop, glitch hop, some EDM occasionally, and like IDM and stuff like that.
Makes total sense. But like you've talked, especially on length, and you've exposed me to a lot of like, really, that's one thing like I really like talking music about with you about music is like, sometimes we don't always like click on the same album opinions, but
yeah,
when there is the overlap, it's usually like so much like, hey, I understand this the way, like I understand this, I think, in a similar way that you were understanding. I mean, we're coming from like very different frames of reference. As like I'm a cis dude, and so, but still like I think it's been so valuable to for you to like introduce me to a lot of like bubblegum bass, like the hyper femininity, and it's definitely very like queer genre in general, but like what sort of like other qualities about like bubblegum bass has really like stuck with you or made it into the genre that you love the most? Am I wrong to say that? Because I think you've mentioned it
before. Oh no, I at this point I really don't think there's a competition for being a genre I love most, because I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm binge playing like bubblegum bass tracks by certain artists, and I'm like, okay, what's another song I haven't binge played yet? Okay, let's start playing this one again and binge playing it until I binge play that one. So I've been like really obsessed with the genre to the point where like I've almost overplayed every single bubblegum bass like essential project. But yeah, I'm sorry. Could you say, I kind of went on a tangent. Could you like say your question?
No, I'm just like wondering like what like qualities, maybe beyond the affirmation, like beyond. Like just that personal appreciation, like that you really like, maybe look through in music in general. Cause I know with bubble bass, like there's this extreme quality to it. It almost like, it's going to sound like a really bizarre comparison, but like albums like Jane Doe, like Converge, like that's pursuing like an extreme in an entirely different, like an aesthetic extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's going for harsh, pummeling noise and like psychotic atonal vocals. Whereas when like I wasn't crazy about that GFOTY album, but I do really respect it, and I understand why it's so popular. Like she's created something that's very like hyper feminine, very glitchy, very like over the top in some way. And yeah. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So you were like asking like the qualities, like,
I yeah.
Really, yeah. Well, one of the big things about it is that it's one of the only like core pop genres I can like outside of art pop, like that I can find that is, or and glitch pop, besides art pop and glitch pop. And I think maybe like ambient pop, which actually isn't really a pop subgenre. I can't really think of many pop okay, bubblegum bass actually isn't technically pop, but it's so rooted in pop. But what I was saying is that it's one of the only pop adjacent genres I can think of that is so commonly experimental by the innovators. Like, you listen to like even a Charlie XCX album, like she's one of the more accessible artists. You listen to pop too, like you got songs like I Got It. You listen to like her self-titled Charlie, like you have stuff like I Shake It, like that song's literally bonkers. So it's like crazy. Mm-hmm. And like she's one of the accessible artists, and that's like, so like that's like how extreme the genre goes. And then like once you start listening to more stuff, like Sophie eventually starts sounding more.
I was gonna bring
it's like, yeah, Sophie, like she has like Product has all those insane sounds. Like, I mean, it has tracks like Love, which really are like noise bubblegum bass. It's like, and that's the thing, like the creators of bubblegum bass really found this extreme twist between like the elements I love of pop music, because pop music is very dear to my heart. Like, I love albums like by Britney Spears as well, and I love stuff like, I've like came up from pop music since like that's what my parents play, like they would put on the radio and stuff, and like a lot of the nostalgic aspects of it just feel enhanced by it, and it's enhanced through this hyper feminine lens and often extreme experiment, like experimental lens. And like why something like GFOTY Bucks and Frenemies by like Felicita like have clicked with me so harshly is because they really take it to extremes of like how they distort it, particularly Frenemies, like because Frenemies is almost like not even distinguishably pop anymore. Like, it's just like, what the hell's even going on? And if I'm being honest, it's taken me so many listens to grow on me, but once like I've listened to it like maybe my fifth listen or something with Frenemies, so it was fourth actually, but my fourth listen I was like, this is a masterpiece. Once it was my fourth listen,
it's really funny because like I just actually listened to the first track off of that, because I know you were like warning me, it's like if you felt kind of like filtered by GFOTY Bucks, like this probably isn't for you. But like within the first couple of seconds it was like, you know, I don't get it, but there's something here, you know, like there's like this, like, I kind of like it. I don't know how else to describe. Maybe it's because like, I'm pretty sure when I first heard of like, it's been so long. And I know I've said before that, like, I'm not the hugest fan of Oil of Every Pearls on Insides, but when I listened to Product recently, I absolutely loved it. And I'm thinking like, maybe that's sort of like the more mad, if Product is the more madcap experimental album, and I'm seeing like all these nuggets of brilliance here. Like, it might be worthwhile to like re-listen in some way. And speaking of that, that kind of made me want to ask, like, I know you can get kind of like down on like the canon of like a lot of the rim core. I know this is going to sound like terminally online to listeners, but it's basically like all these super classic albums, like In the Aeroplane, Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel, Mad Villainy, Okay Computer, of course, Death Consciousness, and like everybody, it's like a kind of like a passage, rite of passage for like most music fans. And I think from my impression of you is that that was sort of your journey into like genres outside of the bubble of like hip hop, but a lot of that just doesn't like click in some way. And is there like a specific reason, like are there others that's the some that like you still cling to, like Green Day?
Are you like asking like me about like the Rate Your Music canon that like still clicks,
or the Rate Your Music, or like the Mew Core, like all these like online, like the terminally online classics? Yeah,
I have a very weird journey with everything because so like around when I was like just getting out of music, like getting out of just rap music, was like embarrassingly just 2022 for me. And and in 2022, like I was like, that was like when I was really getting into Charlie XCX, and that, I mean, okay, I listened to stuff before that, but and rap like albums outside of it, but rap was like practically the only thing I heard, and I hadn't really known about Rate Your Music. And but yeah, I ended up listening to, the big thing for me is that I ended up listening to a lot of this stuff. And to me, it's just the biggest problem for me with the Rate Your Music canon is that I've heard so much more music at this point. And it's like, and it's not like a shame to, because there are albums that have stayed just as good for me. Like, And there's even albums that have grown on me from the Rate Your Music canon. Like, a bit really great example was Dummy by Portishead was not an album I actually liked on first listen.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like, oh, it's just kind of fine. And then now it's like, I love it. I mean, I like Third by Portishead more, but I still think, like, Dummy's a really great listen. And, yeah, I think the reason I'm so down on Rate Your Music canon is just from what I've heard, but also the fact that I think I've overplayed some of the albums in there, so it gets a little bit extreme. And also, there's a bit of, I've really found like what I love and appreciate in music at this point. So if I'm going back to Rate Your Music canon albums, it more feels like, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of hard, but like a lot of
I kind of understand. Like
I get like I get kind of an I also get annoyed by like how revered stuff can get sometimes. It's like, this is what it sounds like and this is how it's revered. Like a really good example of that recently was a very probably hot take for a lot of people was like something like Somewhere in Time by Iron Maiden was like,
oh, that was I saw your rec right up on there. I haven't listened to it, so I can't comment. I've liked some Maiden in the past, but I'm more of a Sabbath guy personally. But
yeah, it's a really good example though, because that's one of the highest metal albums I've listened to in a while, but it was also one of the worst metal albums to my taste that I've heard in a while personally. And it's because I think it's because it's also partially reactionary on my side. That's actually a really good way to explain Rate Your Music, is that I was really obsessed with it. It was like I almost treated like what Rate Your Music was as like complete truth. So I'm like kind of almost reacting against it. So like, for example, like an album like OK Computer is an album like I used to really love and actually still love, but I call it overrated because a reactionary thing, even though I still love that album. It's like, it's kind of like, it's almost a habit. It's like kind of fun to bash, especially because it's like fun to like, it's fun to be contrarian in a way. Like I try not to just be contrarian because like my ratings, like my 4.5s and my 5s, like they're all albums that are really important to me. Mm-hmm. And so like, and you will see canon releases in there. Like I already said, Dummy, In the Chord to Crimson King, Low by David Bowie. Love that one. Love David Bowie in particular. Obviously, Bjork. And probably my favorite Rate Your Music canon releases at this point are, I don't even know if they're technically canon. I don't know like what people say, but like, probably they are, and that's Flood and An Evergreen World are like my two favorites, I think, of the canon.
Oh, I got my sister into emo very recently, actually, and she's been loving it. Like, she's a big fan of King Crimson, as is, and also like a lot of the glam rock. Like, she hasn't listened to much Bowie, but she's liked what she's enjoyed, and she's just been like, this is great. Like, thanks for throwing me down this rabbit hole. But no, you can't really go wrong with like those, like, in particular. Like, I mean, biases aside, like, those are some of my like all time favorite releases there, and a lot of it hasn't, like, I don't know if I've experienced any like extreme like radical shifts in taste, like growing off, but it is really interesting to like hear from you like in that front. And that kind of also makes me wonder too. So I've read about a bit of your writing, and you seem to have like a very idiosyncratic like philosophy you've developed, especially when it comes to like artistic appreciation. Like, do you want me to elucidate the listeners about that? Like, kind of give a run through
how I write about music?
Yeah, how you write about music, how you like consider like consuming art. Cause I know you don't give like rating scores. You also have I forget the specifics of it, but I know you've written on length about your philosophy. Like, and does it extend beyond like just music and art?
For writing, like, I mostly just write about music and art because at this point, music's kind of the main part of my life. And if I'm being honest, I would say like I write about the music because I feel like it's a lot easier to convey how I feel about music by writing down my words than giving a score. And scores are also weird to the brain. Like, for example, I was listening to an album today. It was like, let me just pull it up real quick. It was in my, I actually don't know how to pronounce that. I picked a bad one. But anyways, the album I was listening to today was like, it was really, if my brain still automatically comes up with scores in my brain because of the habit I'm trying to break and I haven't fully.
Yeah. Played.
But like, it's like if I was actually gonna rate it, I was gonna be infuriated because I'm like, it's so close. It's like so between a 3, 7 and an 8 to me. Like I really loved it. Like I really enjoyed it. But there was just a little bit of bloat at the end for me that made it a little bit hard. And instead, it feels way better to just be like, I really love this, but there was some bloat at the end and explaining the things and just giving a number that could literally affect like the score of the album like very differently.
Exposure in some way, yeah. Like
Yeah, I feel like
so much of it. Sorry.
yeah,
Sorry, I
I
didn't
think
mean to
a lot
interrupt.
of my writing, like I feel like it actually is like I get to be more positive about music than I would otherwise be because a lot of times people would just be like, why are you downvoting this? Why are you downvoting this? In fact, most of the things like you're reading me like praising actively, they're usually just sevens. They're usually just sevens and sixes for me at this point. So
And I
like
mean, like, so many people forget too that, like, that's still like one to two standard deviations above the average. Like, that's still really good. And I kind of fall victim to that mindset too, where it's like just a seven, but I've kind of been like slowly weaning myself off of it. It's
yeah.
hard though. Like, there's so much inflation in like how media is praised, especially popular media. I think you've touched on that. Like,
Yeah, I feel very much like that. I also think it's like I also don't like feeling pressured to give things certain ratings, which was actually something I fell victim to many times. And that's the other thing. And I feel like if I say how I'm feeling, regardless, like I might say I like this, and maybe I was over-exaggerating by how much I liked it by saying I like this. But if you actually read my critiques and everything, I'm actually saying my things as opposed to the score, which might have had a little bit of peer pressure into what I wanted to say. And I don't feel the same sense of peer pressure when writing my thoughts because, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, let's bring a really good example. I actually like this album you sent me like a bit. I was a little bit critical about like the creative extreme status, and that was Angel Dust.
oh, yes.
Yeah. A big example of that is that I felt very open to write my thoughts, but you're like a cool user, and like I don't want to like disrespect anybody's feelings. So
Don't be offended, yeah.
if I gave that like a different score, like there's like a pressure. Like I might give it like slightly higher in my mind because like this was cool. I liked what the person sent me, but I don't know. Like I don't want to feel pressured to do that. And
Oh, so you're assigning also like personal significance, or like
yeah.
you're kind of like conflating releases with people too, and like that kind of muddies the
Yeah.
water. Because I see that a lot with
It
like Taylor
can be
Swift
hard,
too.
but yeah. A what?
I see that a lot with like Taylor Swift too. Like
Yeah.
sort of the cult of like I don't dislike Taylor Swift. I just she has some good songs. I just don't really actively listen to her, but I do see like there's a very big like cult of personality she has around her releases, where it's like if it's Taylor, then automatically it's worth listening to. And I think that's given her a lot of like chance to
Yeah.
like maintain a very strong audience. Like shift mo many other artists have tried like shifting from country to pop and just completely fallen flat on their face, like Faith Hill I was reading about. But for her, it was all about her music. And like so
Yeah.
many people, like they can feel pressured like to listen to or to rate something high just because it belongs to an artist they love, or they have like a strong personal connection or interpersonal connection. It's like it's interesting.
Yeah, I was very much that, but if I was being honest, like if I ha still had my rating system when Brat came out, it would have been a disaster. Oh my God.
Oh
If,
my.
I don't know if you guys saw, I don't know if you saw my writing for that because I had the most, I actually literally changed how I formatted it like 4 times because it was so messy and so awful because I actually hated, I actually did not like it like really at all my first listen.
Interesting.
And then my second listen, I loved it. It was this weird thing where it just fell flat for me every way on my first listen. Practically, I'm in the second listen, I saw all the charms to it. Like, I thought it was interesting, of course, in my first listen, and I didn't think it was like a bad like step for her, but it was like on it just seemed really mid compared to other work. And so like if I had a score then, I'm like, there's no way I could have done a score then because I would have like felt like a 3 or like a 2.5 on it when it first came out. And
As out of
like
five
I'm
or
like a
out of
Charlie
like
fan.
10.
Yeah, or oh, out of 10,
Oh
or a 5,
my.
or wait, no, that's not what I meant. I meant
Yeah.
out of 5.
Oh, okay.